The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sitting count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. How often do you think of the 2010 Packers team, the 2011 Super Bowl team?
5-6 times a week?
Seems about right. I was going to say every day. So
yeah.
You're taking, I mean, there might be
Sunday
a day
off for the Lord's
Day
or something?
Yeah, there might be a day. So I'm just, you know, playing it safe.
Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network was talking about that team when asked about this team on the Rich Eisen show. So take a listen to what Tom Pelissero had to say about this year's Packers team.
From being there last year, every receiver and tight end on the team was a rookie or a second year guy.
Right.
Now all those guys are second and third year guys. They all came on, it seemed like, in various points toward the end of last season. So You still got a really, really young team. I think this is going back to my Green Bay Press Gazette days, but that team last year reminded me of the 2009 Packers, where they were the youngest team in the NFL. They were the youngest team in the NFL perennially for like 5 years there, because Ted Thompson didn't really do anything in free agency. They just constantly draft and develop. But that 09 team, it was Rodgers' second year as the starter. They go to the playoffs. They lose that wild
in
shootout
Arizona.
Overtime game in Arizona. But then the next year they went and they won the Super Bowl. Like, that's the vibe I get, is they're young, they're, you know, working really hard. They got a really, really good locker room from what everybody's telling me. From being there last year, every receiver and tight end on the team was a rookie or a second year guy.
Yeah. Sure, let's hear it again. Sorry, Chew, no gushing over here.
No, that was
still
that
some
was
more
good.
Gushing. Do you see that comparison between the team that went ahead and won the whole thing back in 2010, 2011, and this iteration of the Packers team?
Well, they went through the back door in 10,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Went on the road. Wild,
I mean,
card.
Let me just say this. And there's what? Say six of them, six players who are young. Not all of them are going to turn into be superstars. That doesn't happen.
Do you need all of them to be
superstars?
No,
you don't. I mean, you're hoping for half of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need someone to emerge as a one and play like a one. And Ashton was just texting us. There was a question on the YouTube line. Why do they need a number one? You need a number one because typically in this type of offense, your Z gets the most amount of balls thrown to him, and then X, and then your tight ends. That's typically how it works. Your Z is 90 to 100 catches. Your X is 60 to 70, and then your tight ends combined, Holmgren. Yeah, I know it's a different era. Always wanted like 75 out of the tight end position.
Could probably bump all of those up a little bit, because they throw it a little bit more.
So someone has to emerge here. But let's not forget that there's a year of film. I mean, LaFleur's not going to go in and say, all right, blow the playbook up. They've already seen what we can do. Let's change everything. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. So they have what they like to do on third downs on film, how they like to spread it around on film. That kind of gets pushed away if guys really emerge, right? If Dobbs emerges to be Devontae Light. Because I can tell you this, when Jason said James Jones,
he's
is deflated,
fine.
Is deflated
on your
a
face.
Word?
If you have a James Jones career, you had nothing wrong with that. Nothing to be.
But James Jones was never number one.
100%.
Yeah. James Jones. 100%. Absolutely.
Now, if you look at that receiver roster, and we don't know how good these guys are going to be. We hope, we think we know how good they're. Their receivers in 10 were pretty damn good.
And Greg Jennings was the number one.
And then you had Jordy, who was legit.
Greg was
and then
young.
You had Cobb.
He was coming out. Well, Cobb wasn't on that team yet.
He wasn't really.
He got drafted in 11.
And James Jones was their three.
James Jones was their three.
Yeah.
Donald was still on that team in 2010.
He was on the backside.
Yep. But he was on the backside. But he was still.
So you need these guys to emerge. That's all I'm saying.
I think we are ignoring a very, very glaring and big part of what made that team in 2010, 2011 successful, Gabe. And that was the defense.
Oh, yeah.
And they got hot at the right time.
But they had stars that stepped up. Like, 2009 was about establishing those stars, and I don't think that's happened yet with this team.
Because,
like, Nick Collins was all pro. Clay Matthews, even though he's a rookie, was a pro bowler, but you knew you had something special there. Aaron Rodgers became a pro bowler in 2009. Like, those stars still have to emerge.
And they were top 10 in all of the important statistical categories, too, that defense was.
Yes. Like, there's got to be a progression to the defense. A new system, a new defense coordinator doesn't come in and say, we're going to be a top five defense. There's still a learning curve. Look at what the offense last year, even though they were young, they had to learn, you know, because there's going to be situations where, like, holy cow, to call timeout, you know? So, yeah, I could see it. I could definitely see that happening. I could definitely see them being a wild card in running the table as long as they get hot at the right time and they stay healthy. There's so much luck that goes. Because I'll tell you this, the year we won the Super Bowl in 96, where we lose two in a row or three in
two,
a row.
Lost two
and
in
we
row.
Were banged up. If we were banged up like that, let's say Robert, myself, and Free were out for the year. We ain't winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We ain't winning the Super Bowl. You know, we hit a bump in the road because we were banged up, reset, and then ran the table.
So, Gabe, let me ask you this. If Pelissero is onto something here, and there are similarities between this year's team and the team that ended up winning it all in the 2010-2011 season, what would be the reason why the Packers win the Super Bowl this year? What would have to happen for this Green Bay Packers team to simulate, to mimic what that team did? I don't want them going in as the wild card, to be perfectly honest with you. And I do want to get to this Pro Football Network graphic that was put out yesterday that actually has the Green Bay Packers missing the playoffs altogether. I assume this is sort of one and the same. Like, what would have to happen for that scenario to happen? What would have to happen for the Green Bay Packers to be the Super Bowl champion like they were in 2011?
Somebody's got to establish themselves as a number one receiver. And if you ask again, why is that important? Think about Greg Jennings in that Super Bowl. Think about the tough catches that he made. Like, the one play everybody wants to think about is that 3rd and 10 where Rodgers knew, hey, I can get this ball to Greg Jennings. Like, you need to have somebody step up and be that guy. Somebody has to step up and be a big difference maker and playmaker defensively. Clay, in that Super Bowl, you know, everybody loves that it is time with Kevin Green. And he goes, but Rashawn Gary, you actually have to be as good as everyone thinks you are. And it has to reflect on the stat sheet. You have to be able to go out and get those sacks. Offensive line. Got to stay healthy. And you got to find a way to stop the run.
I think it's all defense. Got to create pressure with four. That way you can do whatever you want with McKinney. Bring him up to the box wherever you want. Use him as a blitzer like Leroy back in the day. They have to be able to get pressure with four. If they don't, where they got to continually blitz linebackers, and they're not going to be able to let McKinney do what he wants to do, they're not going to win. They're not going to win. You're not going to win, I don't think, with a 13th, 14th ranked defense, especially with an offense that's progressing like this, because they're going to get better every year. I mean, next year they should be humming. They should know this thing back and forth. But
are you confident they can get pressure with four? Because that's where it starts, right?
It's all Van Ness. It's all Van Ness, because Preston's not going to be good against the run. He's never been very good against the run.
He's better than Rashawn.
Yeah, he's better, because Rashawn doesn't want to do it. But when you're in a 4-3 and you're exposed, I mean, you can kind of hide in a 3-4 as a linebacker because all you got is D-gap, and all D-gap is wide. Now you got to be a gap player, you know? And if they're just going to say, if their motto is going to be stop the run on the way to the quarterback, then he's going to get his ass trapped left and right because coaches in this league are too good. He's got to be a well-rounded player. And then Van Ness has to be that other guy. Van Ness doesn't have to have 18 sacks. If he has 8, 9, 10, and Rashawn has 13, 14, 15, that's pressure with four.
Van Ness is running with the twos and the threes.
Yeah,
right,
I know. I saw that, which is a little concerning. Because there's not as much gush. We need gush. Wait. We need more gush.
Okay, hold
on.
Yep,
what he's saying.
Okay, so.
But they tried to gush. They tried to gush because they said he had three sacks against the twos and threes.
He might have had three sacks is what it said.
Hold on a damn second.
Yes.
So an hour ago, we were gushing too much. Now you're concerned because we're not getting the gush.
Yeah, but you need balance here. The gush needs to be balanced, and it's not. It's out of whack.
Oh, because there's too much offensive gush.
Well, too much offense and too much individual gush. We need more gush.
Even though you would like to hear more Van Ness gush.
You just said we needed less gush. Yeah.
But, also, in the play that ended practice yesterday, that passed to Dontayvion Wicks, Lucas Van Ness had a sack, but you don't get sacks in practice. So
it would have been a sack.
Yeah,
he got there. Against the fours?
We literally
no, it was against Jordan Love.
Are there four?
They brought the little kids from the school in the scrimmage, and Van Ness got a sack against them. Is that what you're trying to say?
We literally had to put a poll in the field for you. Is there too much gush happening in Packers training camp? What? Yes, enough already. No, give me more. And now you want more gush?
I want balanced gush.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, they tried. How can you say he had two or three sacks against the twos and threes? Don't even write it then. Lie. Say it was the ones. No one's going to know.
Except everyone that was there.
Everybody. Right? There are thousands of people at practice.
I know, but there's hundreds of thousands that read this stuff.
I believe what you're referring to is gush. I mean, yes. It's fake gush, but that would be gush. So you're okay with Tom Pelissero gushing about the Packers and making comparisons to this team and the journey that they appear to be on compared to the 2010-2011 team and the year prior. And that was the team that won the Super Bowl. Yeah. You're okay with that? Because it doesn't feel like gush to you. That feels like what? Analysis?
Well, because they were the...
Observations?
Weren't they the seventh seed?
They were the sixth seed. They were the seventh. Packers were seventh seed last year. When they won the Super Bowl, they were six. There was not a seventh seed at that point.
Which is not gush. That's like, okay. They'll go... What'd they go that year?
10-6.
10-6? I mean, I'm going to have them at 11-6 this year. Yeah, so I could see that totally happening.
Now, on the flip side, I did want to mention this before we finish this segment. Pro Football Network has a playoff predictor that they use to simulate the NFL season. And they went through the projections, guys. In the NFC, Packers are nowhere to be found. And here's how it shakes out. They have Dallas as the one seed, San Francisco as the two seed, Detroit as the three seed, Atlanta as the four. So Detroit obviously winning the division. And then they have the Eagles at five, the Bears at 6, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 7. So that would mean that the Bears beat the Packers head-to-head during the season.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions won the division, the Bears beat the Packers head-to-head, and that's why they got one of the wild card spots instead of the Green Bay Packers. Chew, do the Packers have to win the division in order to be in the playoffs, or do you think they're good enough if Detroit does have a stranglehold on this division right now to win the wild card and be one of the 7 teams?
The Bears scare me a little bit from that standpoint. Could I see that? Yes. I'd be interested to know what the Bears' strength of schedule was. You said the Packers were 19, but could I see that happening? I mean, that stretch that we talked about yesterday, Gabe, is so important. You know, that like six or seven game stretch.
I hate to break it to you, but according to the same one we used yesterday, Sharp Football Analysis, the teams with the easiest schedules in 2024 are the Atlanta Falcons, which again is another team that showed up on this list
Division
of playoff
stinks.
Teams, Los Angeles Chargers, Chicago Bears. They have it as the third easiest schedule.
They have a last place schedule. They finished in last place in the division last year.
So, and they still won 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason I would say it's not going to happen is because I don't think Eberflus is very good. So...
Following up on our conversation about the whiteout, October 20th.
Ooh, they've announced the date.
They've announced the date, and it is indeed going to be white helmet. So the Packers-Texans game at noon on CBS, October 20th, is going to be the winter warning game.
Won't be easy. Packers favored by 3?
Because they're home?
Yeah.
Winter warning in October?
Yeah, what's coming next? Winter. Duh.
We haven't even had summer yet here. Like,
you kidding me? Have you stepped outside?
Well, yeah, but we just started summer. Like, I have a feeling these types of temperatures are going to go for at least another month after August.
I've been in summer mode for months.
Will that be a whiteout? Do they do whiteouts in
I mean, they'll probably encourage, you know, fans to wear.
Okay, let's have that conversation before you get on me about the winter and the summers and the seasons that I saw you were about to do.
Well, no, I was going to say, in Georgia, kids went back to school today.
Oh, I know.
Phone that up yesterday.
Yeah, I was in Alabama. There was a teacher I was interviewing for the story. She says, I have school on Friday.
Yeah.
School. Yeah, because, again, they get out in May.
It's Alabama. They got to go a little longer. Take them out!
Extend the school day.
Knew he was going to do that.
Well, you lob it up for him. What do you expect him to do?
Nothing to stop him. What I was going to say was... I remember. How hard is it going to be to convince Packers fans who we have notoriously had trouble convincing not to do the wave, not to talk when the team is on offense, driving in the red zone, not to make people sit down at crucial moments? How hard is it going to be to convince Packers fans who are going to that game to wear all white?
Well, they are asking game attendees to join the winter warning by wearing white attire for the game against Houston.
Is it
in the press release?
Is it a green or gold package? Because that's going to make a difference.
All right, hold on.
See, I think they should wear blaze orange. Now, that would be cool.
I mean, they do.
Well,
anyways.
It's not because we know the Milwaukee package is all the division games this year.
That's
so
right.
It's a Green Bay game. Whatever. I never know what the difference between the green or
so
the gold.
So you think that makes it more likely or less likely,
more.
Joshy?
I don't know. I just know people would be more mad if it was the...
Trying to decide which package you wanted to insult there.
People would be upset if it was a Milwaukee game because
yeah,
they would.
I always want to insult them.
Anytime Milwaukee gets something, like everybody else gets upset.
Green package people, shove it.
All right, well, here's an opportunity for the fans to show that they can follow directions. So for the game, again, the date is
October 20th
against the Texans. You have to wear all white if you're going to that game.
Yeah. Just wear your white jersey instead of your green jersey that day. Boom.
Or a white t-shirt. Yeah,
as I say, just throw a white
t-shirt
on over your coat.
Something.
I hope it rains.
You would.
Why would you do that?
We can go to break now.
I feel sorry for anyone not watching the show on YouTube.
Well, you just had a stretch.
Yeah. You did. Showing me his chesticles. You keep getting in my ear and saying, Pato, it's coming up. Hey, guys, have you been out to the Potawatomi Sportsbook yet? It is one of my favorite places in all of Milwaukee. The ultimate experience with their brand new sportsbook, of course. Seating for over 200 people, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, and their new restaurant, The Kitchen. Guys, if you have not been out there yet, this is the perfect time to do so because, well, we got a game tonight. And you can certainly make wagers on that game, but you also got the games happening over in Paris. Make some bets on those as well. It is a new era of sports betting at Potawatomi, so you can get on the action.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
All right. I'm off the next 3 days, so I'm gonna pick the hard one. I have two lists here. One's a little bit easier, but we're gonna do the hard one. I'm looking for the last 8 Packers quarterbacks to throw a touchdown in the preseason.
That's what she said.
Oh God.
I sat on it for 3 seconds and I was like,
also a weird thing to say after that.
Also, that's what she said.
Been a banner show today. And Chewy's package.
And... I sat on it for 3 seconds. What are we doing?
Just a little soaking.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
Again.
No, what is the list?
Again. The top something.
Last 8 Packers quarterbacks to throw a preseason touchdown pass.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, Jordan Love's got to be on this list. He would have thrown a preseason touchdown when Rodgers was sitting, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Also threw, one last year when
he
was playing in the preseason.
Didn't remember
that. So Jordan Love is number 1 on the list.
Okay. Would Clifford have thrown a touchdown pass last year? Yes.
You sure?
What are you shuring me?
It was my turn.
Clifford is number two on the list.
I thought we were teaming.
All right, now it's all yours.
Joey's like, you want to be a ball hog? Yeah, go ahead. He's throwing you the ball and clearing
out. I thought we were a team. But...
we are.
Okay. God, why is this so hard?
I would have gotten seven of the eight.
Podcast
There's
guy.
One impossible one.
Or the you know, break sound film.
Kirk Benkert?
Yeah.
I don't know if he threw it. Let's go with it.
Number four on the list, Kirk Benkert.
Good job.
O'Connell, O'Donnell, O'Malley.
The coach of the Vikings?
Isn't there an O'Connor, O'Connor?
Captain, my captain? Aiden I don't
O'Connell.
Know.
Connor Stallings?
No. Joshy, what'd you say?
It said Aiden O'Connell's a Raider.
I kind of got Benkert. So you can go again.
You're not. This is weird.
I have no idea.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, number three is the tough one. I'll tell you that. Love's one, Clifford's two, Benkert four. The real tough one's three.
I mean, Rodgers got to be on this list, right?
No.
Eight?
Oh, in the preseason? God, he didn't play for a long time.
When was the last time he threw a pass in the preseason?
I'm also picturing another quarterback, and I can't remember his name, and I don't want to say his identifying characteristic, so...
You sure that's not an O'Donnell?
O'Doyle rules!
I'm out.
No, come on. Help me out with the...
I'm trying.
I can't say it on the radio.
Who's the kid that took a knee at the end of the game and it was...
That was Benkert.
That was Benkert.
Oh, man, 800-999. I don't know, because, again, I can picture... Huntley. Brett Hundley? Hundley?
Brett Hundley is number eight on the list.
Pulled it out of nowhere! That's all I got. That's
now you can give out the number.
That's literally the one I was
You guys got half. You guys got half.
That's not bad.
Joshy, I do not have a call sheet here in front of me. Computer is down. So 800-990-3776. We need callers to play top 8 at 8, the last 8 quarterbacks to throw touchdowns during the preseason for your Green Bay Packers. 800-990-3776. Reset the list. Who did we get?
Jordan Love is number 1. Sean Clifford, number 2. Do not have 3. Kurt Benkert is 4. And then Brett Hundley is number 8. So you got half the list.
Never a good sign when you put out the call and like one or two people call because they're not confident. But we do have one caller. We've got Chris in Muskego here. Chris, who you got?
Boyle.
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle, guys.
Is that who you were thinking?
That's who I was thinking of.
O'Boyle? O'Doyle?
It's Irish.
Oh, my gosh.
I said O'Doyle as a joke. Yeah. I didn't realize that was actually close.
Oh, I'm so mad.
But the laser show.
We should have known that one.
The laser show is number 6 on the list.
All right.
That's really bad. I'm mad at myself for that.
You should be mad about yourself more than that one, but.
Keep it going. Did he leave us, Joshy?
Oh, yeah, he hung up.
Tim Boyle and walked it off?
Yeah, that's all he got.
All right, so we just have 3, 5, and 7 left on the list.
We have another caller here. We got John in Milwaukee. John, who do you got?
All right. You guys will set the list for me real quick?
Jordan Love is number 1. Sean Clifford, number 2. Do not have 3. Kurt Benkert is 4. Do not have 5. Tim Boyle is 6. Do not have 7. Brett Hundley is 8, with the last 8 Packers quarterbacks to throw a touchdown pass in the preseason.
Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien is too far back, not on the list.
Good guess, though. I forgot about him.
800-990-3776. Looking for callers to play top 8 at 8. We only have three remaining answers.
And 3 is the tough one.
Three is the really hard one. Again, 7, you're going to be kicking yourself. 5 is a name you know. 3 is tough one. Tough one to remember.
Kicking yourself feels like a giveaway.
Like, I think I know who 7 is.
800-990-3776. Joshy?
He's on the phones. He's answering the phones. He's answering the calls. He's on top of it all.
Unlike us. Can I be honest? I'm like blank.
I got seven, I think.
We got a caller here. Austin, what do you got?
Well, Matt Flynn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Too far back.
Because
again, Brett Hundley is eight. And he would have thrown a touchdown pass.
I know, but didn't he come back
for
a second time around?
He did. He threw his last touchdown pass in 2018.
Okay.
So 2018 would have been the last time Brett Hundley. So 2018 and more recent than that.
Hundley's when Rodgers broke his collarbone.
Correct.
Yes, that's what I thought.
We've got another brave contestant here. We got Tim in Germantown.
Who do you got, Tim?
Matt Flynn?
Matt Flynn was just incorrectly guessed.
You can
guess again. Yep.
Oh.
So right. What you need to be working off here.
Be too far back.
Well, so what you need to be working off of here is Brett Hundley in 2018 is number eight on the list. So 2018 and more recent than that.
More recent than 2018. Oh, man. Jeez. God, you know what? I was going with Matt Flynn because I didn't think anybody guessed that guy because he's very unknown. You know what? I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. Is love,
maybe
is okay. Love the last one they drafted? Quarterback.
They drafted Clifford. They drafted Hundley.
No, they didn't. Oh, I'm thinking the guy. I'm thinking
they drafted
Seneca
Pratt,
Wallace.
Too, didn't they? Bottom end of the draft?
Yeah, but he hasn't played
a first season yet.
All right. Teddy in Watertown, can you end our misery?
I'll try. Did Magoo throw one last year?
He did not.
That's a good guess, though. That would have been the tough one.
So, yeah, but it's along those lines.
He's been cut, by the way, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gone.
Let's keep it moving here to AC in Tulsa. AC, who do you got?
All right. I think I have one. Just to help out the next person that calls, I don't have three. But I'm going to guess DeShone Kizer.
DeShone Kizer, number five on the list. That's who you were thinking of, Chu.
Yeah.
That they did not draft.
Yeah.
Picked him up from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Do you have another guess?
Yeah. No, I was just trying to help out the next person, but I'll try. I know this is a wrong answer, so I'm just going to throw him out anyways because he's a Wisconsin guy. So Scott Tolzien,
yeah,
but I know it's going too far back.
Incorrect. Yeah, too far back.
800-990-3776. Gabe, I'm trying to Google this list.
Yeah.
I can't Google it.
It's hard.
So you want to know what? That's why we aren't getting any calls.
Yeah.
We know how this thing
works. You had
works.
To look it up.
We know how everybody is. They pull out the old computer in their pocket. They do a little tappity-tap on the screen, and usually a list will populate. But in this case, that's not how it works.
Had to do my own research this morning.
What did they give up for Kizer? What did they give up for him? Wasn't it like a third?
No, it wasn't that high.
It wasn't?
It was pretty low.
800-990-3776. It looks like we have several callers on the line. Who should we go to first, Joshy?
We got Jason in Heartland here.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys.
What do you got?
Hey, good morning. I think you just got him. I was going to say DeShone Kizer.
Okay, do you have any other guess?
No.
Okay.
Nope, that's what I was calling with. Sorry,
right.
guys.
That's all right.
800-990-3776. We got another caller on the line, Joshy.
Yes, we have Dan here. Dan in Sussex. Who do you got?
Hey, I got Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill just missed out on the list. Just missed out. He would have been
fun.
Taysom Hill would have been nine on this list.
You still hate him?
I mean, he's just overblown and overpaid, but I mean, good for him for getting paid.
Yeah.
But yes, Taysom Hill would have been nine on the list.
We got another call. Oh, someone just gave up. Scott. Scott, who do you have for our top 8 at 8 list?
Whitewater's own Matt Blanchard?
No, Matt Blanchard is incorrect.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about Matt Blanchard in a while.
I mean, the fact that number 7 hasn't been...
I felt like you tried to give a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what hint to give for 3, but like I've tried to... Like everybody who has called should be embarrassed. Should be embarrassed.
I'm not even going to answer this one because I recognize a caller ID. Teddy in Watertown. Teddy in Watertown. What do you got?
Danny, is it Etling?
Danny Etling is number 3 on the list. Somehow we got Danny Etling before we got number 7. Everybody needs to be embarrassed right now. Be embarrassed.
19.
Wait. Well, I didn't know if he threw it. I know he had that long run.
Yeah, so Danny Etling's correct.
Hold on.
So we need the last
the list.
One.
I remember
Love is Etling. One. Yeah. Clifford is two. Etling is three. Ben Kurt is four. Kaiser five. Boyle six. Don't have seven.
It's Rogers.
And Aaron and Brett Hundley is number eight.
Is it Rogers?
What? You can't guess.
Is it Rogers?
It's Aaron Rodgers. Jeez.
Who's that?
Jesus H. Christ Gump.
Okay, how first of all,
somehow somebody guessed Danny Etling before Aaron Rodgers.
You know that we have wiped him from our brains like the Men in Black thing, right?
Bloop, no, whatever. Bloop. If you wouldn't have gone, could Aaron Rodgers be on this list and then not guess him? And then another caller said his name, but not as a guess. How are we not guessing Aaron Rodgers?
You need to calm down.
Come on, people. We got Danny bleeping Etling before Aaron Rodgers.
You need to relax.
Our show is dumb.
Yeah, what's shocking?
Anybody opposed?
Yeah.
Put
opposed?
It on the poll. Is this show dumb?
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe has put us in a timeout. But before we do, you guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna. We all had those moments walking through an expo center thinking, I've always wanted one of those. Is now the time to go ahead and make that purchase? I can tell you it is, because my Good Health Sauna is one of the best purchases I have ever made. And you can get your own Good Health Sauna this week at the Wisconsin State Fair. That's right. They have a setup at the Expo Center. Once again, you can go in, you can sit in some of their models, see which one would be best for you and your family. And let me tell you, the perks are amazing. Better sleep, better skin, better hair. My body feels better after I work out. I'm the detoxification process after I get on an airplane or sleep in a foreign hotel, all of it is worth it. Sat in my sauna yesterday for 30 minutes. It was extraordinary. So when you're at the State Fair, make sure you wander into the Expo Center. Make sure you wander over to the Good Health Sauna display and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought
Salvation
every time
Army.
That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong? He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong.
He's
not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, little lady, I know you're feeling crazy.
You know what I say, happy wife, happy life. And that usually means a trip to see my guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading to the Jewelry Center for their engagement rings. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for the rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington today, or check out their full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
Reaction rolling in from that debacle of a top 8 at 8. Ron in the key saying, yep, we're going back to the top 8 fingers on Gabe's hands next week. Always a classic.
I do think we need to point out that after I told Gabe not to do this list, he warned us how tough it was. I don't think he's allowed to get mad at everyone for not getting it right.
I'm mad that no one guessed Aaron Rodgers. I'm mad that we guessed the hard one, the hardest one on the list, Danny Etling. I thought we were going to be here forever guessing Danny bleeping Etling.
But even the fact that he was number 7 on the list shows that we were sort of on the right track. It has been a while since Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown in a preseason game.
Was he rubbing off on you?
I'm just saying.
Well, we were
7.
Close. Like, our thought process was kind of right. And even though we were wrong, we were right.
Correct. Let me just say, your bar's a little higher than mine, which is probably the problem. That would have been great if I did it.
No, again, like, if you'd have guessed Aaron Rodgers and we were there and, like, we were struggling to get DeShone Kaiser and Danny Etling, sure.
But I think we had eliminated him from our consciousness because it felt like it has been so long since Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown in a preseason game.
The fact that just you didn't throw out a Hail Mary of, you know what, I'm out of guesses. Let's guess Aaron Rodgers. Even though you said his name.
Yeah, but there's no zip to that.
You know, no one wants a layup to win the game. They want to drain a half quarter or a 3-point shot. You say Aaron Rodgers.
I like to win.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a layup or if it's a half court shot.
Brett in the 715 saying, watching Gabe on the YouTube stream get more and more frustrated as people did not guess Rodgers.
We guessed Scott Tolzien before we guessed Aaron Rodgers. What are we doing?
Hey, I do have some good news for you guys. Did you see that Matt Damon was on the Rich Eisen show? And Matt Damon revealed that they are talking about doing a Rounders 2. We love... I thought you would be excited about that. What do you mean too late?
I mean, what's Matt Damon? 50-something years old?
It's never too late to do the right thing.
Here's the problem. Worm's dead, right?
He's dead?
Well, no. Edward Norton's alive. I'm saying the character Worm in the movie would not be alive 25 years later.
But wait, the whole point of the conversation was that Matt Damon said he saw Edward Norton recently. So yes the actor, very much alive.
I disagree.
And he would have to be in it. That was the whole point. Like
for like flashback scenes. Right, for flashback scenes. Worm's dead.
I think Edward Norton should be like Biff from Back to the Future 2, where he takes over a casino.
I thought you were going to say he was time traveling.
The only way he's still alive 25 years later
would make his ability to win those poker games less alone. Impressive.
Leave it alone?
He did say they had a script like 10 or 15 years ago ready, but they would have to revamp that script even because so much has changed in the poker world.
The thing that's interesting to me about Rounders is it's more of a cult classic than it is like a renowned.
Well, that's what I was just going
to ask. It's not like it was a high quality award winning. It's just people loved it after the fact.
Is Rounders a good movie?
Oh, yes. Great movie.
I agree. I love it. But my point is, just because you love something doesn't mean it was a great movie. Just because you had like a connection to it or an affinity to it or you, I mean, Edward Norton, when that movie came out, was like at the top of his career, mm-hmm. right? He had done, was it Primal Fear with Richard Gere?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
He then, you know, like went on to do that movie with not Pacino, De Niro, The Heist or something like that. There were a bunch of movies where it was just like pop. Pop, Edward Norton, Edward Norton, Edward Norton. He was one of my favorites. Obviously, he was in Fight Club. I forgot about that one until this very moment. But, like, that was part of the appeal for it, was watching Edward Norton take on all of these different roles. I don't know that the movie was that good.
It was. The story's really good. Yeah. And all the different characters that they introduced, whether it is Teddy KGB, you know, John Turturro's character. Like, they had a lot of high-quality actors in that movie.
And those places exist in New York City.
Those like underground poker clubs.
Yeah, and everyone had a Worm in their life. I had a Worm, you know?
I have a friend I still call Worm.
And I called my buddy Worm. He'd go into my wallet, you know, I'd be asleep at night and take a couple $100. I'd be like, I'm a little light here. But you just let it go because it's Worm.
But that's what I'm saying. Worm does that to the wrong person. Worm's no longer with us.
That's, you don't know Worms well enough. Those guys last forever.
Yeah, they do.
Against
cockroach,
all odds.
They should be called cockroach instead of worm.
Yes, they are very similar.
I mean, bro, our Blammer could be considered a worm.
No, he's too smart. He was a... why am I blanking on his profession?
He's a pharmacist.
A pharmacist.
Yeah.
He's too smart to be worm.
I feel like worms are smart. They
not,
like can, no,
not
they
going
can,
through in pharmacy
no,
school.
No, 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 they spot a sucker. Like that's the street smarts, right? Like the ability to see who you can kind of con.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. But again, in the
Chewy
movie,
Chewy and his quarter beef that he's supposed to get,
but, very,
they spotted the sucker.
Yeah,
but for
twice.
But a big turning point in the movie is when Worm gets caught at the wrong game. And they get the crap kicked out of them, and they lose all the money. Yeah. And they lose all the money, which is what forces him to have to go to, you know, try to win some of the money from Teddy KGB.
Yeah,
like Worm pushes his luck too far.
So Chewy, you're out on a Rounders too, is what I'm picking up.
If it was 5 or 7 years after the original, then yes. But now, too far gone. What are they going to have kids that turn into the characters?
Oh, maybe that's always a famous way of doing it, right? Like it's like Rocky.
Here's the thing,
you know,
though.
When they did the Creed movie.
Yeah, but Creed's really good.
Poker isn't like a young man's sport. It's a money and wealth and gambling.
And you're saying you get better at it the older you get?
No, but being older doesn't preclude you from being able to continue to live that lifestyle.
Oh, you mean like an NFL player? Or
right.
Like,
you know how to play poker. You know how to play it till you die.
Like, yeah, but again, when they're older, I don't think they're taking the risks that they're taking when they were younger.
I think you're underestimating what true gamblers are.
I think, hold on. I actually think we are on to a script. They have kids. They have families. The kids follow in their father's footsteps. They get themselves in some trouble, and the dads have to go in there and save the day. They got to go in there and get into the high-stakes poker game or something. I'm just working on a script. Don't give me the look like, hey, you've done better.
No,
like,
did they get in trouble with KGB? You hack my money? He was the best character in the whole.
What does that say about the movie, that he was the best character in the whole movie?
He's a really good character, is what it says about the movie.
Even though his Russian accent was dog.
Really? I thought it was spot on. He looked like my dad.
No, like one of the things that people talk about is how he like drifts in and out of like various accents throughout the scenes.
But the clothes alone he was wearing were just so lovely.
Check.
Check.
Check. Let's put it on the poll. With the news that there is a Rounders 2 being talked about, is it too late? Josh will come up with some sort of phraseology for that, but is it too late to do a Rounders 2? Has the moment passed, if you will? Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district, right in downtown Milwaukee. You got deluxe accommodations, you got culinary creativity, you got on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. We were at St. Kate just last week for an event. Oh, it's always so beautiful. Walking through that lobby, checking out the art, listening to somebody who is tickling the ivories. You will love it if you go to St. Kate the Arts Hotel. For more information, go to their website. It's stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Husky.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
Robust. Robust.
You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat. Well, you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
We are looking for a few more folks to participate in our ESPN Milwaukee Fantasy Football Draft tonight. It is tonight. We can watch the Hall of Fame game at Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa. 800-990-3776. We have made the decision, collectively, since Gabe will be occupied and Chewy will be blammering, that Josh and I are going to represent the team. And that Josh is going to do the drafting and Jen is going to do the schmoozing.
Mm-hmm. Putting our best foots forward.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Collectively. That's good coaching.
Mm-hmm. To our strengths.
Got to put your players in positions to succeed. That's what you got to do.
I agree. That's a fantastic way to do it. Josh, are you excited to be drafting the official Jen, Gabe, and Chewy team for our fantasy football league?
I'm thrilled. I'm excited to dominate because I think out of all the people there, nobody has as many drafts completed at this point of the year.
That's a very good point.
Pretty good. It's
I've surpassed 140 at this point.
Amazing.
So I do think we have a distinct advantage, but it is fantasy football, much like poker.
Never know.
There's a little luck involved with everything.
Absolutely.
Are we worried about the toad factor at all?
With him?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not at all?
No.
He's not going to take Samori Torre with the first pick?
No.
I care way more about winning than I do about
being a toad.
All right,
I like that.
But also, Josh, we talked about this several weeks ago. Like, I don't know that there is a Packers wide receiver that you feel comfortable is going to get as much production as some of the other ones around the league.
No, the only one that I would really consider is drafting either Watson or Wicks. Wicks, because he's unbelievably cheap.
Watson catches touchdowns.
Has upside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than that, eh.
I like it.
Yeah, he wants to be right and live up to this reputation that we've crafted for him of being the fantasy football guru versus gush about the Packers.
Okay.
I for one, am very excited about this because, you know, I get to kind of mingle and chit-chat and take photographs and shake hands and kiss babies, and there shouldn't be any babies there. Do not bring your babies to the fantasy football draft tonight at Dave & Buster's at Wauwatosa. 800-990-3776. We are putting out the cue to call because we are looking for several more people. Two more people to participate in our fantasy football draft tonight. Hey, maybe it's not you, but maybe you know someone who wants to get in the ESPN Milwaukee fantasy football draft. They have to be at Dave & Buster's tonight. They need to call us right now, 800-990-3776, to get their name on the list so that you can participate and join us at the fantasy football draft. Do we get to go head-to-head with any of the other shows?
I believe each show has its own league.
Darn it! We should come up with something so that we can show our supremacy, our dominance in this space, Joshy's dominance in this space.
We can make a side bet with somebody, like total points scored or record at the end of the year.
Let's do it. Tomorrow morning, we're making a side bet. with the afternoon show. Thanks for listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Will D and Tasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee.